You know, if we'll be honest, none of us deserve anything good. In and of ourselves, without Christ, we are undone. And if we'll be honest, God has been good to us in spite of ourselves. A lot of us are living what we could only have dreamed about 20 years ago. Well, I just wish this corner wasn't so rough, and I wish this thing was a little more perfect. Thank God we're still standing. Amen. Amen. Let me give you a little wedding protocol. Because a lot of us aren't having a formal event in this place is like having a baptism in your bathtub. You say, what do you mean by that? You know, those missionaries have to have baptism in their bathtub because they're in a foreign country. They can't do anything publicly. So you got to ask. So you might get called to communist China or something. You might have to North Korea. You might have to have a baptism in your bathtub. Now, I want to ask you this. Would you have your bathroom like it normally is at the baptismal service? No, you'd probably spruce it up a little. Would you do things that you normally do in the bathroom when you're having a bath? No. So here's the deal with a wedding protocol, okay? I want you to pretend, you that are coming, you're at another church and another banquet hall, and everything will be beautiful. Just walk in and come and sit down like you were if you were at Oscar's Free Methodist or something like that. Come in, you know, bride or groom, right? Well, both, I don't know what we are, but take your pick. Maybe you better take your pick. If there's a lot in the... Okay. And then no football in the yard. No running, screaming. I want you to pretend you're at a banquet hall. You don't just walk in the kitchen like you normally would and go, what's this? Oh, hi, Greg, what's happening? Nice. They made a movie years ago. I'm not going to say what the name of it was, but this guy messed up an Italian guy's daughter's wedding. And he was sleeping with the fishes later. So, yeah, just teasing. But let's have a good time. Keep an eye on your kids, especially at the cake reception there. Let's let the adults go. Let's say hello to visitors. We'll have a lot of visitors probably Sunday morning. Let's reach out and be warm. Let's start in Exodus chapter 24 tonight. Exodus chapter 24. We sat around a circle last night, talked about all the things we're going to miss about Anna. She said, I'm not dying. How are you holding up? You must be. Exodus 24. Verse 3, Exodus 24:3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. Exodus chapter 1. I'm sorry. Joshua chapter 1. Sorry about that. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 17. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, that's a little bit of a stretch, but so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Joshua chapter 3. We'll have a little Bible study tonight, a little lighter fare, although I do feel like preaching a little bit, but Joshua chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Verse 8. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand in Jordan. Father, we thank you for Jesus again tonight. And Lord, you're all in all. You're all we need. We don't deserve you. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve to be counted faithful putting in the ministry. We don't deserve marriage. We don't deserve families. We don't deserve blessings. We don't deserve health because of our sin. Thank you for bearing our sin and iniquities and casting it as far as the east is from the west. I pray we'd be reminded of that tonight, Lord, as we look at this world that's just in a mess. They got no direction. They got no purpose. They got no light. And we sit here just basking in the sunlight of your glory. I pray you'd bless your word tonight. Help me to preach, whether they will hear or forbear, like you told me 30 years ago. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God appoints Joshua to replace Moses. God appoints human leaders. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. A little bit of leadership to govern the affairs of men. Governments, families, churches, workplaces need leadership to function in the order of God's design. That's the way He made it. Now, there's this unscriptural movement that equalizes everybody as far as authority is concerned. I'm not talking about equal rights and to the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness here. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about leadership and fellowship in God's order of things that He's created and ordained. It's pretty amazing that these people looked at a man and said, everything you said, we will do. That gives me a hint that we're sort of wired for leadership and fellowship. When you erase God-designed authority, you erase order. You erase functionality. You erase maximum efficiency when you erase God-designed authority. Now this, the godless, they say everybody's the same. The children are the same as the parents when it comes to authority. You know what you end up with? You end up with preteens doing the things that adults do and adults doing the things that children do. That's what we have. Paul said this, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's a time to grow up, boys. Oh, the man with dies with the most toys wins. Yeah, and goes to hell if you ain't saved. I told you I felt like preaching a little bit tonight. John said, I write unto you children. I write unto you young men. I write unto you fathers. See, there's a structure. There's an order. Everybody's not all equal when it comes to this thing of authority. The godless say that the children are the same as the parents. And now, you know, the parents fear the teachers. The teachers fear the school board. Nobody fears the kids. That's the only ones they're not afraid of. Animals are the same as humans. Now, you need an education to believe that. The pygmies in Africa are not so stupid. You know what you end up with an attitude like that? You end up slaughtering the unborn and fining a man for having too dirty of a litter box for his cat. That's an insane asylum run by the inmates called America. Amen. Help me out a little bit tonight. The employer is the same as the employee. You can't fire anybody anymore. You can't fire them for being late. You can't fire them for being lazy. You can't fire them for being incompetent. They got to have a hearing before the labor board. Labor? They never did a word, lick of labor in their life. That's a product of educated godlessness. Education without salvation is damnation. Do I have a witness? Amen. All right. The landlord is the same as the tenant. It doesn't matter that the landlord bought the house, insured the house, pays the taxes on the house, remodels the house. The landlord couldn't evict the guy if he didn't pay his rent for 3 months. And if you don't believe that, talk to some landlords. Everybody's the same. The hamburg flipper deserves the same wage as the skilled tradesman. We got young men in this room that are turning circles around guys that have fitted pipes for 30 years. They're making 15 an hour, and they can go to McDonald's and make 15 an hour in a little bit. You know what you're going to end up with? You're going to end up with machines flipping your burgers. Husband's the same as the wife. Legal immigrant, same as the illegal immigrant. Homosexual, same as the heterosexual. Not in God's economy. Not in God's economy. Thank God for a Bible. Thank God for a city of refuge amidst societal insanity. A shelter from chaos and confusion by a bunch of godless, devil-filled heathen. Amen. God's plan is order and structure and leadership and fellowship all under His lordship. That's His plan. You think about this Bible. The whole Bible, you know what it's about? It's about who's going to be in charge. You think about Genesis. You start out in that book right off the bat. Okay, I want you, he makes a man, he says, I want you to govern my affairs. I want you to have dominion. 3/4 of that book of Genesis is all about patriarchs. That's the big shots that are in charge. You move to Exodus. God calls a man to lead a people. These people look at the man and say, whatever you say, will do. You think about Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus is about God calling a group of men on out, called priests, that would be mediators to go to God on behalf of men. And these are the guys that are going to sort of run the spiritual show and take care of things. You think about the book of Numbers. I think I listened to 10 or 11 chapters of that today. The first 6 or 7 chapters are all about, these are the men that are going to stand with you. These guys after their families, after their fathers, after this guy, and then this guy. These are the guys in charge. These are the families. Number them, etc. You think about Joshua. You know what Joshua's about? It's about the book's named after a man leading a people. That said, all you say, we will do. Lead us, Joshua, lead us. Now, the flesh gets in there sometimes. It gets in the way. What's Judges about? It's about judges leading a people. What's Kings about? It's about kings leading a people. What's Ezra about? It's a leader leading the people. What's Nehemiah about? It's about a leader leading people. What are the prophets about? It's about these men of God that God has called out that said, listen to me, I want to lead you to God. What happens in the New Testament? God puts on the body of a man, Emmanuel, God with us, and comes down. And the first thing he does is he calls 12 men and said, follow me. Men following another man, if you can imagine such a thing. Follow me, and when I go, you're going to be the leaders. And listen, you will never be a leader if you can't follow. You'll never be a leader if you can't follow. Well, I want to just be a leader. Forget it. You're going to follow before you lead, or you won't lead. You won't leave. You know what the first act is in the church age? Just about the first thing they did in the book of Acts. We lost a leader, one of the 12. We have to replace that leader. You know what the pastoral epistles are all about? They're about how to lead, how to structure, who's in charge, who's following, how the gifts are given, and all that in your New Testament church. So I'm not ashamed to boldly proclaim in Jesus' name that if you want a marriage or a family or a church or a workplace or a nation to operate at peak efficiency, do it God's way. And if the world wants to do it their way, let them be an insane asylum run by the enemy. We got to do it God's way, amen? Because we want to be blessed by God, don't we? Don't we want good relationship? Don't we want a pleasant churches, etc.? Now, the Bible has a beautiful balance in these matters. Leadership, fellowship, properly balanced under His order, and lordship. Nice balance. We can't deny God's principles of leadership, fellowship, under His lordship. But it has to be in balance. And it has to be in order. Because when it gets out of balance, it's an abomination. Authority out of God's order is abuse. Authority out of God's order is abuse on one hand and chaos on the other hand. Chaos without it, abuse when it's not under God's lordship. Understand? Too much dependence on authority, parents, pastor, government, is crippling when you can't stand on your own 2 feet. Independence from authority is rebellion. See, we want to get right in the balance, and where else to find it but in the Scriptures. A beautiful balance between dependence and independence. On my 1040, the end of the year, there's a place for dependence. How many people, they want to know, are depending on you for their welfare? And I don't use that the way the state uses it. How many people are depending on you to provide for them? Now, if I'm filling in my able-bodied 45-year-old son, we got a problem with the principle of dependency. We're talking about over-dependence, way out of balance. The other side of the balance, however, is a lot of times a rebel under the guise of independence. That's the other side of the balance. So we're talking about balance tonight. Now listen, unless you're a spiritual baby in diapers, you're newly saved, you don't know Genesis from Revelation, you ought to be able to feed yourself from this book. You have a responsibility before your God as a priest. We call it the priesthood of believers. You have a responsibility to feed yourself. You have a responsibility to minister. You have a responsibility to outreach. You have a responsibility to edify. But at the same time, and we're talking about balance tonight, God has given gifts to the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. He said, obey them that have the rule over you. And I say, but don't make a god out of them, that if they fall out of the way or die, you're crippled without them. And that goes for parents too. That goes for parents too. Numbers chapter 11. Let's look at some of this. Numbers chapter 11. You don't want to be crippled that you're so dependent, and you don't want to be a rebel that you're so independent. You have to walk with God to figure that balance. Numbers chapter 11, verse 24. Verse 24, Numbers 11. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. Now Moses, you know, he's the man in charge. He gathers these other men around. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out of the tabernacle, and they prophesied under the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. So in other words, okay, we're going to start sharing the responsibility here. So God's going to give a gift to others to prophesy here. And so everybody gather out here. And two of the guys stayed back, but the Spirit still came on them, and they prophesied too. Watch what happens. And there, verse 27. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men answered, one of his young men. How's that for authority? One of his young men answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. Watch what Moses. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would to God that all Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. He said, there's no gift. There's no monopoly on the prophecy here. God can divvy it up as He will. See? It's not, well, God has chosen the... Like we came out of a church before we were saved, that the man up here, he's the only one that understood the Bible. He's the only one that understood the Bible. Now, when you get in the evangelical circles, so then he was called a priest. He was the priest class. He knew God. He studied the Bible. We were just laymen. We couldn't understand that. Now, what is in the evangelical circles, we call the Greek priest class. They understand the original Greek. So you are just dumb and ignorant with your little English different versions of the Bible. You really can't understand it. No. It's not clergy and laity. If anything, it's laity and clergy. He that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. So we're talking about not being threatened by other people exercising gifts that God has given. I'm not threatened by that. There's men in this room that could mop the floor with me doctrinally. There's women that could out-preach me. I mean, there's some women, I'll sit down and we're sitting around talking about spiritual conversation, and they're talking and I'm going, point number one, point number two. But there's got to be a balance. The Corinthian church was one. Everybody just did whatever they want. No one was in charge, and it was a great big mess. So Moses said, spread it out. I hope someone else goes out and preaches on the street without me. I know other guys go out and knock on doors without me. I hope someone else goes out and ministers without me. All right? Now, Numbers 12, the very next chapter. Watch the other side of the balance. Numbers 12, 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian women, a woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Well, obviously, the answer to that question is no. 72 of them just spoke, or 70 of them just spoke.
And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. No kidding.
Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and Miriam, come out ye three under the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And see what you got here? One hand, put the Spirit on them. There's the one side of the balance. Use your gift. Exercise your gift. But the other side says there has to be some order. There has to be some structure. Everybody can't be in charge. All right? The anger of the Lord was kindled against them. He departed. Verse 10, the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam. And behold, she was leprous. Not totally dependent on leadership, so much so that you're crippled without it, but not independent of leadership either. In the home, if you're either a leader or a follower in the home. In the home, in the marriage, in the church,
in families. Judges chapter 2. Let's look at another instance. Judges chapter 2. This is just practical principles we're learning tonight. There's a lot of souls in this room. And we need some practical child rearing, marriage help. Judges 2, 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods and of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. That's a judgment of God when you can't stand before an enemy. When you've got F-16s and all they have is rocket launchers and you can't win, guess what's going on? The problem is not the military. The problem is morality on a nation. On a nation. Whithersoever, 15, they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. As the Lord had said, as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, here's our God. Here's His balance. The Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers. Now, have you ever heard of living vicariously through your children? In other words, you did nothing in high school but pick the splinters off the bench, but your kid is in the peewee leagues and he's the starting running back, and so you're in those stands, and man, you're seeing yourself in that kid. You're living what you never were through that child. You know that can work the opposite spiritually. You know what happened in the book of Judges? Those people didn't know God for themselves. They didn't worship God for themselves. As long as that guy was up there harping and hammering and getting on him and watching every move and make your bed and tie your tie and tie your shoes and take the garbage out and read your Bible and don't forget to pray and are you late for church and where's your songbook? Everything was good. But nothing for themselves. And the crippling danger of that is that the minute that authority is gone, hell breaks loose. Hell breaks loose. We're talking about a balance tonight. When my pastor's around, when my parents are around, God is all over me. But as soon as that parent or pastor isn't around, lost. Lost without leadership. Not totally dependent on leadership, but not independent of leadership. I hope we're giving you a balance tonight. Exodus 32. Exodus 32. And I'll just give you the end now. We as parents need to pray for wisdom to discern. We as ministry leaders and missionaries, etc., need to pray for wisdom to discern. Lord, I can cripple my children. I can be so authoritative and go to the point of crippling them where for some reason were I to drop off the scene, they have no relationship with God without me. Yet, I can say, hey, fend for yourself. That's the other side of the coin. Exodus 32, 23. These people just saw the Red Sea part. Moses, everything you said we will do. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They were having a party on the other side in chapter 14. They were dancing and singing a new song, and the Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And here we are in Exodus 32, 23. A month later, I believe. For they said unto me, this is Aaron tattling on the people, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. 30 days, man. The leader's gone, and they are crippled. And they're worshiping false god and having a Christian rock party. God chose Moses to lead and deliver the people. He gave the commandments. He went up there. The people couldn't get near the mountain. He went up there. He got the commandments. He brought water from a rock. He commanded and the quails came. He stood and the Red Sea parted. But listen, the minute he was taken off the scene, they were heathens. They were useless and their carcasses were buried in the wilderness. Totally dependent on leadership. Not good. Not good. That's how you end up lost without Moses. But then there would come times when they would be totally independent of leadership. Right? I'm not telling you anything you don't know. That's called rebellion. And God killed them for that. So here's where we need wisdom in parenting. We need, because we got some young men that are growing up, don't we? Ain't you glad our young men are growing up? You don't want to keep them babies forever, do you? No, they can't tithe when they're babies. We want them to pay their way. I need wisdom to recognize the difference between God's natural process for a young person to be not so dependent on someone that is their authority that's not going to be here all their life. Versus an independent spirit that they just want to call their own shots and can't get under authority. We need wisdom for that. Would you agree? Would you agree? Well, can I get a car? What? You're only 35. See, there's that rebellion stemming up. We had years ago, I think a girl was 18 years old, said to her dad, she was just sort of feeling dad out to see where dad was. You know, she caught, I don't know how you'd say it. Someone caught her eye. I don't know. She liked some boy, all right? And she said, Dad, what would you think of, like, someone, not that this is the person, but like with the character qualities of, say, Jason Lodis? You shouldn't even be thinking about that. Really? But in this day and age, I'm glad they're thinking about it. You better be glad she didn't say the character qualities of Jane. In this day and age. Oh, there you go, wanting to spread your wings. Amen! The bird's got enough sense. Fly, fly, fly! Get some work, get some wisdom so you can take care of us when we get old. Amen? You say, you got insurance policy? Yeah, 8 of them. You got all girls? Yeah, but you see... I'm going to turn to Greg and say, you going to take care of me when I get old? You young people. Nate will take care of me. You know, I had all the girls. I had all the girls, and my daughters are having all the boys. And I'll just be honest with you. When I was having all them girls, I was having me a pity party with God. Girl, girl, girl. Boy. Okay, the table's going to turn. Girl, 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 girl. Now I say, thank you, Jesus. He knows exactly what He's doing. He wired you, and He'll give you what you need. Maybe not what you can handle. Someone said, God will never give you more than what you can handle. Oh, that's exactly where He wants you. So you can cling unto Him, amen, A, and not take any credit, B. Young people, you need to recognize, in light of our study tonight, when your natural tendency, your God-given tendency to be not so dependent on authority that you're crippled, turns into an independent spirit that you know everything and no one can tell you everything and you know it all. After all, you've been shaving for 3 weeks now. Well, I just want to be independent. Well, maybe you just want to be a rebel. And I'm not saying this to be mean. Don't we want God's blessing? Don't we want His balance? We want to end up like this nutty world out there. God's got a way where we can have light in our dwellings when it's pitch black out there. And listen, us first generation, we had no guide. We didn't have, most of us didn't have parents that were in the Bible, parents that brought us to a Bible-believing church, parents that taught us the do's and the don'ts. Man, we had God and a preacher and that was it. You guys ought to be miles past us. Church leaders need to pray for wisdom to discern what is a good, healthy lack of crippling dependence. Now, I don't think this church has to worry about, I don't have to worry about this church making a god out of the pastors. And I know why. Because a lot of places you came from did that. And when them places started to steer from this, and you stood up and said, wait, rebel, rebel. So we have a design in the carpet. So I'm not worried about you making gods out of us. But, see, what time you ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again. You don't want to be so dependent. The pastor feeds me. I throw my Bible in the trunk. I pick it up as I walk in church with it Sunday morning because everybody else has a Bible. And I got nothing for myself. He feeds me. I'm supposed to feed you. The preacher's supposed to feed you. He leads the music. You know why? Because in the Bible there's corporate worship and there's private worship. I hope the only song you sing all week isn't when it's time for this. And let me say this. We got to be careful with the, I'm an independent Baptist. I went to a preacher one time. I got convicted, believe it or not, early on, because I knew it all. It didn't take me long to realize, Jason, that I didn't know it all. I was dumb enough to think if you just preached the Bible and produced a good environment, everybody would be perfect. No, no. And so, I got real convicted because I ranted, we're the only ones that are doing it right, and this is the way, and this is the way, and this is the way. And I went to every preacher that I knew close, and I sat down, I preached a message called The Diversified Wall. And that's what convicted me was the scriptures. You know what? This guy built a dung gate. This guy built a sheep gate. This guy built the temple gate. They all had their gate that they were building. And I'm sure that this guy that built the sheep gate, this guy built the water gate. What would we do without the water gate? The water gate is the sheep gate, but the dung gate, we got to get rid of this. I'm sure they all thought that their job was the most important. And you know what? God was using that whole thing. And I went to those preachers and I asked for forgiveness. And I said to this one preacher, I said, look, and I just want to offer our services. You need help in this place. You need us to smite the neighborhood. You need us to paint the place. You know what he said? He said, brother, I'm an independent Baptist. In other words, I'm so independent, I wouldn't even think about taking your help. You didn't read the New Testament much. Those churches were helping each other out all the time. We're going to need each other. What church you belong to? Ooh, what are they, the devil? I don't need nobody. You know what? You're going to have that spirit of independence, and you're going to produce children with that spirit of independence. Only this time, it's going to be against you. You're going to reap what you sow. All right? So, we want to get a Bible balance and watch life afford us some blessings. Young people, examine your lives. Church members, examine your lives. Leaders, parents, am I so overbearing that I know a young man got married, Christian young man. He'd never written a check in his life. You got to get them young men to learn finances. And I'm not saying just throw them out to any old dog to work them. And I don't think they got to be necessarily working. Our God is big enough for us to be creative. Duties don't conflict. I think they can work. I think they can learn finances. And they don't have to. Now, there's a day you're going to have to go out there with those heathen boys and ask our young guys. And they're doing great. They're leading people to Christ. They're handing out invitations. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. I would that you'd not company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world. I'd have to take you out of the world. They're all fornicators. Go win them to Jesus Christ. Last point. Yes, in the Scriptures we see this New Testament church. The church is filled. So we don't have this hierarchy. We don't have these bishops over these smaller churches and smaller churches yet. But if you just so confine yourself, you are going to miss a blessing. Because God has given gifts to His body, and there's preachers. And where would we be? That building over there was built by Don Riley. Overseeing, right, Charlie? Overseeing. You talk about a family like the Marshalls ministered to the churches for you. Well, we just let our own women do it. We just have our own preachers. Let's stand. I'm done. We're not even going to sing. I'm just going to pray. We're going to be dismissed. And Tisa's going to need some help over there. But and we'll get to it the next time I preach, but because that was just really the preliminary. You know who he's going to put in charge now? He's going to put the guy, Joshua. He's going to put him in charge. He said, I'm going to start to magnify you now. You know what magnifying glass does? It makes something look bigger than it really is. And the fear is if you're so dependent on authority that it gives a shot to your faith. Somebody dies. Somebody falls. Somebody's out of the way. What are we going to do now? God says, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. You know what Joshua was? Joshua was obedient. Joshua Joshua was a servant of the servant of God. But there was a time there when Moses walked away. And you know what it said? But Joshua tarried at the tabernacle. He had his own relationship with God. Let's just in our seeking God, in our raising children, in our having a family and trying to run a church, let's say, Lord, I want the blessing of your balance. Show me when I'm getting too overpowering. Show me when my want to be not so dependent on this authority is turning into independent spirit and rebellion toward that authority. Father, we thank